I want to share with you from Acts, the third chapter, if you'd like to turn in your Bible. In a few moments, I'll read a few verses from Acts 10. I want to talk to you about expecting the unexpected. How many of you find it hard these days to make a plan and stay with it? Anybody here, you notice any distractions? I watch TV commercials and they keep interrupting with programs. Everything, you got 8 minutes, everything shifts. And I have ADD. My wife diagnosed me. She read an article and said, "I think you have it." I read it, I said, "I think so," but it's an interesting world. Let me go ahead and read these verses before I forget, because this is the foundation. Verse 1, the New King James Version. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look on us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him." One of the most dangerous things is to think that we've got God figured out. Dumber is to think there's no God at all, or to think that all of this just happened. When I was a kid back in the 1800s, in school, and they taught us that the Milky Way was way, way, way away, and then later found out that was our neighborhood. Light years across. And then the Hubble telescope tells us that there's 100 billion galaxies like that. But they think as they get stronger telescopes, it'll be 200. I don't know what they'll get after that. But it boggles my mind to think about the mind of God and who he is. And I feel like the guy that fell out of a building and landed on the street, and somebody ran over and said, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know, I just got here myself." You ever feel like that? You just dropped out of yesterday into today and into wonderment. I do believe there's prophecy. I'm kind of careful about what I pay a lot of attention to, but I believe in it. And I believe, of course, there are prophets in the Bible. But I've come to believe that even if you think you know something, you're going to be surprised about how it happens. We're dealing with a God. How many of you know the mind that made all this stuff we're talking about doesn't think the way we do? It's incredible to me that he even pays attention. And then hearing the songs and the worship, how Jesus makes it all personal, brings it down out of the billions, what a number, of galaxies, what a creation, into our lives. Incredible. I am amazed. I think at one point in my life I thought I had things pretty well figured out. I preached a year out of Revelation, 6 months out of Daniel, 3 months out of Ezekiel, before I realized I really didn't know what I was talking about. The problem is, and I do believe God has a plan, and I believe he gives us some clues, and I believe all that. I just know that that's pretty sketchy. It's just glimpses. And I think one of the worst things that can happen to us is that we start to take for granted and become rather hypnotized by repetition and get too familiar with God. I think I have. And this story, I love this story, because Peter and John, and we could talk a long time about those two guys. I'm glad for Peter. He gets me in. You know, Peter was a commercial fisherman, and so was John and Andrew and James, and I have relatives that were there with the Lord now, but they were Cajun commercial fishermen, and it's a different world. And commercial fishermen, most of them don't know bad language is bad, and there's a lot of, without going into the culture, and Peter comes out of that, and Peter's always opening his mouth when he should have been quiet, and even argued with Jesus. He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him at one point when Jesus was trying to tell him something. It's a wonder he wasn't just a spot of ashes after that. But anyway, but the Lord loved him because he said what he thought, and he was straightforward. And anyway, and then, of course, the night of the crucifixion, he denied Jesus three times, cursed the third time. And 50 days later, he's the main speaker at Pentecost. I can't imagine that. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? And so, you know, this is Peter and John. Now, John and James are called sons of thunder, and you can guess why. They had pretty hot tempers. They wanted to call down fire on people that didn't come to the meeting, you know, or the villages that wouldn't receive Christ. Ever felt like that? God bless them. Anyway, these two guys have been filled with the Spirit. They'd walked with Jesus 3.5 years. They'd heard, they'd seen the miracles, and they're on their way to the temple. This is a fairly routine trip for a Jew, and they were going to the temple. The gate, we think of a gate as just an arch, but it's more than that. A gate was almost like a tunnel, and it allowed people to come into the Temple Mount and temple area. And there was a guy there who was lame from his mother's womb at birth, and he was brought there daily as an adult to beg for alms, probably to support his mother too. And I'm sure they had seen him. I mean, they'd gone that way often, and nothing happened. But here, this day, they're walking where they've walked before, doing what they've done before, and this guy's asking for alms like he always does. And he says, alms, alms, and Peter and John stopped. And looked at him. And he looked at them. They said, look on us. Look at us. There's something happening in a connection. And Peter said, we don't have any silver or gold, but we'll give you what we've got. Wow. He reached down and took him by the hand and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The guy got up and started dancing, jumping. Now, I can't imagine how it would feel to gain your ability to walk after being lame all of your life. It's easy to read this and just not get it. But this guy had never walked. Everybody else was walking. He couldn't walk. He was a beggar because he couldn't walk. And now he's walking. Hallelujah. He jumps up and is praising God and dancing. Now everybody knew this guy because they passed him too. Many of them probably gave him money. And they come to see what happened. And there's a crowd. And then Peter begins to preach. I've often wondered, what would happen if Peter had started preaching before the man was healed? I think too often that's how we do church. It's true what we say, but it hasn't affected the people out in the street like it could. I don't think that anybody in that story expected what happened. The opportunity might have been there before, but for some reason, this time, God got their attention. I wonder how many times I've passed by an opportunity because it was just my habit, or I had my mind somewhere else, and I didn't notice the person or hear the Holy Spirit and miss a miracle. You know, when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, the guy that fell among thieves and was beaten up on the road down to Jericho and all that, he was passed by a priest. He was passed by a Levite. It was this Samaritan who stopped. In that story, Jesus, of course, illustrating a truth, but again, it's not the person you would expect. I think our expectations need to be adjusted, or we need to expect that there are things that are going to happen that we did not expect, and that those may be opportunities. I have a friend, a pastor, an African-American bishop. He's a good man. I've known him a long time, and his wife is Puerto Rican, beautiful lady, and she was paralyzed for 22 years in an automobile accident. And his first wife passed away, and he married her. They've been married, I guess, 20 years. he's a minister and she's a minister's wife, and she's been prayed for hundreds, if not thousands of times to have her legs restored as useful. And he got to where he really didn't want anybody to pray for her more because it just was embarrassing and she felt pressure to get up and try to do something. And they would tolerate, but they just had a lot of prayer and nothing happened. They went to a meeting in our city and the evangelist said he wanted to pray for her. And my friend Levy, he said, well, she's been prayed for a lot, but he submitted, and she went up to the front, and the evangelist took her by the hand. And after 22 years of paralysis, she stood up and walked. And she's traveling. I was on the same plane with them a couple of weeks back. And she's dancing and worshiping and praising God. Thank you. Her testimony is videoed. People don't want to just hear, they want to see. The charismatic movement, the Jesus movement, from whence this church was started, came about because things happened, not just because things were said. And as the years have gone by, things do happen, but it's not so amazing. It's not that I'm suggesting that we need to do miracles so people will come, but I'm suggesting that there's more that can happen if we're sensitive to God in unexpected places, and that will witness to people. In the 1960s, a lot of guys were traveling, myself included, giving their testimonies, and things happened, and there was an explosion of conversions, revival across the country and in other countries as well. I would love to see that happen again. I think we need to see God do something. And in that time, it was crazy. I mean, stuff was happening to people. Well, I pastored a Southern Baptist church in Mobile, Alabama, and got baptized in the Spirit, and that changed everything in ways I couldn't imagine, and lost half the church. That's one way it changed. And then it grew and it doubled, and nuns started coming to our church. I didn't care for nuns. My mother grew up Catholic, and I had a problem. My father was a missionary in the swamps of Louisiana, and the Catholics gave us a lot of trouble. And then the college president, the Jesuit college, his secretary gets saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and says, come speak at the college. I said, Mary, there's no way in the world like they're going to invite me to speak over there. And next week or two, they said, come over and speak at the, I thought, what do I say to a bunch of Catholics? And then I got invited to Bishop Tulin High School, a girls' high school, and a Catholic. And then hippies started coming. We weren't hippie people. I mean, there weren't any hippies in South Alabama that I knew of. They didn't come out in the daytime anyway. And here people who wore sunglasses at night started coming to our church. And a guru came. A guru. A guru came into a Southern Baptist church. Of course, there were a lot of strange people there already, but he came late and there was no empty seats, and he walked down the aisle and he had his medallions and his robe and whatever gurus look like, and people were trying to clap to the music, but they missed their hands looking at that guru in the church. Strange, unimaginable things. And I had the privilege of ministering to Catherine Kuhlman. Some of you, I'm sure, know who she was, and in four different occasions, once up in Anaheim, and she was dramatic. Anybody here remember her? Yeah, she would come out, you know, anyway, but the presence of God, and I didn't mean to get into that, but I saw a guy, blind guy, eyes healed. I saw a man with withered hand stretched forth. Things happened, and people would come who didn't even like it because they were just compelled. You didn't have to talk them into it. They just wanted to see what was going to happen. And things happened. Now, things happen in meetings. Thank God for what happens. We had a good meeting last night. But I believe God wants things to happen out there. This happened in the street. It didn't happen in the synagogue. It didn't even happen in the temple. It happened in the street. Too often we expect the ministers to do what we don't do, but the world's out there, and we're out there. Can unusual things, wonderful things, powerful things happen? Now, when that happened, Peter preached. Now, I don't have time to really review the sermon, but let me say this. They gathered. They want to know what happened. Well, Peter starts giving them the gospel because that's what made it happen. And, excuse me, the first thing he says is, we did not do this. That's so important. I could spend the rest of the time talking about it. You see, when God uses somebody to do something powerful, people want to make them the hero. And that can really mess you up. And it's heady wine if you lift somebody up and they walk for the first time. That's heady wine. If you pray for them and a miracle happens, it's easy to feel pretty good about yourself because people will help you with that. Wow, I've never seen anybody else do that. Paul, you know, he healed a lame guy over in Acts 14, and people started calling him a god and wanting to worship him, scared the daylights out of him. No, don't do this. You see, it's not about who God uses. It's about what God does if we just allow him to do the unexpected. We didn't do this. We're not heroes. Now, the next thing he said, I don't think in today's culture it would go over. He said, you killed Jesus. Wow, he put a guilt trip on those people. No, he didn't. They were already guilty. He just told them. But it wasn't just them. We all killed Jesus. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and was laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our transgressions, our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a little bit cautious. I don't mean to be critical, but I'm a little bit cautious about cheap grace. I'm a little bit cautious about salvation without repentance. And repentance doesn't come unless people have been shown that they're guilty. Without realizing who we are without Christ, we can't possibly realize what we have in Christ. I grew up, people weren't afraid to preach on hell. I didn't like it, but the night I got saved, the evangelist preached on hell like he just got back. I mean, I could smell it on his clothes. I mean, I felt hot while I was just listening to him. I thought, I hope the floor doesn't open up and swallow me. Woo! So I got saved. Well, Billy Graham said, fear is not a good motive, but it beats no motive at all. And I got to be careful. But it's better to get it scared out of you than to go into it. You killed Jesus, he said. And they knew that it was true. Now, in our time, people say, well, you're putting a guilt trip on people, or, you know, that's offensive, hurts their self-esteem, or whatever. But if we really realize what we're saved from, we can better understand what we're saved for. If we can just understand where we were in the pit. Jesus comes to talk to people who are humble. The humble will hear and be glad. The captive, the person whose life is turned to ashes. If we don't see our need, why get saved? From what? I don't know. I'm just concerned that we're so afraid of offending or making somebody feel bad or somebody taking responsibility for what they've done that we just kind of smooth over that, and Jesus loves you and loves everybody unconditionally, and all you have to do is say, I believe. Maybe. But I don't see how that can bring the gratitude of a person who realized they were guilty and that Jesus loved them. Because that creates repentance. When you realize where you were and what you did, and you see what happened, you say, Lord, I am so sorry. One of the things Jesus said is, Peter said, he says, but you did it in ignorance. That's the comforting thing. I love what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I am sure that we don't know what we did. I'm sure I didn't. And when I came to see what I did and what I've done, it brings a humility. It brings a gratitude that he is faithful. He loves us. He said, this miracle happened by faith in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus hasn't lost its power. We've gotten too familiar with it. Maybe we've used it wrong. But all authority is in him, and the name in their culture was who you were. He's our Savior. And they repented, thousands. And he said, if you repent, and because they had seen the truth, and they believed what he said, they repented, and he said, times of refreshing will come from the Lord. True repentance brings refreshing, reinvigorating. Salvation is such a wonderful thing. When you realize what you were saved from and where you would have been, but Jesus opened the door for you to wear his righteousness and enter into his habitation and be with his people. It makes you weep for joy. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. We're so blessed. We're the most blessed people ever walked the face of the earth. Help us, Lord, to understand, to be good stewards of what we have, to repent, to be refreshed in your presence and by your Spirit. And one more thing I'll say. And he said, that he may send Jesus, who will fulfill everything the prophet said. Now, I am not going to even scratch the surface of this, but let me tell you what I think. I believe that there will be a great refreshing through the earth right before Jesus comes. There's an early rain that's already happened. That gets the seed up. There's a latter rain that is maybe near that brings the harvest. Repent so that times of refreshing will come from the Lord. That's motivation. If you need refreshing, whatever you need to repent of, repent. I don't want you to forget the main purpose, and that is expect the unexpected. Unexpected people, unexpected places, unexpected times, unpredictable stuff. Be alert. Be sensitive to what God may have for you in a moment. It could be a miracle. It could change your life as well as somebody else's. What a mystery. Dealing with the mind that made the galaxies. Don't get bored with your life. If you are, you're missing something.